Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimagineonline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. On this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Alkeisha Williamson, a mother of five from Tallahassee, Florida, whose three school-aged children receive state K-12 education choice scholarships.
Hi, I have with me Alkeisha Williamson, and she is a mom from Tallahassee, and she has three children on the state scholarship programs. Welcome to the program, Alkeisha.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. We'll just start by having you tell us a little bit about you and your family. You know, how many kids do you have? What are their ages? And a little bit about each of them. What are their interests and their strengths?
Yeah, sure. My name is Alkeisha. I'm 32 years young. I'm originally from Tennessee. We've lived in Tallahassee for about 4 years now. I have a total of five children. So, you know, we have a pretty busy household. We have a lot of fun. My oldest is a 13-year-old boy. He loves playing soccer. He's a gamer, anime, all of that great stuff that the teenagers do nowadays. I have a 12-year-old daughter who loves music and dancing. She's a very big helper, really girly, likes doing her nails. She recently became a cheerleader and all of the girly stuff. I have a 7-year-old boy who loves playing basketball. He's a very caring and loving little boy. And he also likes anime and playing games as well with his brother, Pokemon, cars. He loves race cars, things like that. I also have a 4-year-old son who just is in love with Cocomelon, Paw Patrol. We tried football, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a sports guy. And then I have my wonderful 6-month-old daughter who is just a happy little baby.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
I understand three of these children are receiving state scholarships. So tell me about each one who receives the scholarship and what program they're participating in and, you know, how that all works.
My school-age boys, my 13-year-old and 7-year-old, are both on the income-based scholarship. And my daughter, who is 12, is on the unique abilities one.
And what is her condition that qualifies her for receiving that scholarship?
Yeah, so she's on the autism spectrum, high function. They used to call it Asperger's, but it's just a spectrum now. So she has autism.
And what does that look like for her? Because the spectrum is very broad.
Yeah, so she still has like difficulties with communication, expressing her emotions and things of that nature.
Recently, I know that you have been an advocate for the scholarship program, and we appreciate your doing that. And you were recently at a House Representative Subcommittee meeting, and you said you and your kids had lived in three states, and the public school system was not built for them. Can you describe that further?
Yeah, absolutely. So my oldest son, he does have some ADHD going on, right? And the public school system, you know, I thought would be a great fit for him at first because they do have their own little programs to help different kids and things like that. And then my daughter, and this was before she was diagnosed with autism, from kindergarten, I was having so much difficulty with the schools. I mean, they were calling me every day. Hey, your daughter isn't listening. Your daughter won't sit down. Your daughter's screaming and crying. Or your son won't sit still. He won't do his work. He won't get anything done. And at the time, it was just those two that were in school. My now 7-year-old was like a baby. So I was just dealing with those two at the time. And it was just really, really difficult. I later found out my son was considered gifted and he was just bored. And my daughter was diagnosed with autism, I think maybe 3 years after all this began. I think she was around 8 years old. So, yeah, it was a lot. I couldn't hold a job because I was constantly being called to the school. Hey, come get your kid. Hey, come get your kid. If it wasn't her, it was him. If it wasn't him, it was her. And it got to the point to where they just straight up could not handle my daughter and her meltdowns or her tantrums, and I'm sure she was also feeling very misunderstood. They pretty much had my daughter labeled as a bad kid. She ended up getting sent to alternative schools. We had to go to court. Like, it was a lot.
How did they feel about going to school every day? Did you experience any issues with them not wanting to go or saying, I hate this?
All the time. They absolutely hated it. And more so my daughter than my son. He kind of goes with the flow a little bit better. But my daughter, no, she didn't want to be there. She felt like she wasn't wanted there. She had no friends, you know, like no one really wanted to talk to her. No one wanted to do group activities with her. She felt very singled out and awkward, you know, even at a young age, kids still feel those things.
How did you get him to go to school?
I walked him to the bus stop. I got him on the bus and I prayed. That's pretty much it. There were some days my daughter didn't even make it inside of the building. She, you know, had a whole meltdown on the bus, got kicked off the bus, and oh, she can't come back for this amount of days, or she has to learn her lesson for this amount of days, and she has to stay at home. And what they didn't realize was that was a burden on me. Like, I still have to try to hold a job, and you guys are sending my kid home, which means I have to find, you know, some type mm-hmm. of alternate care. And not to mention, if you're suspending a child multiple times, they're missing out on their education, which is the most important thing. So it's not really helping anyone in this situation at all. So, yeah, it was hard. You know, like now I think about it and I look on it, I don't know how I got through it, but I did, by the grace of God. It was a lot of praying.
And did these schools know about her condition? Did they have her on an individualized education plan or an IEP?
They did. She was on an IEP, and my son was actually on a 504 to help with his ADHD as well. And my daughter has a little bit of ADHD as well. But they did have those plans, but it was very difficult to figure out what should really be on them. Because if the child is not in school for the teachers and staff to monitor and evaluate, hey, I think this will work best for them, then it's impossible to get anything on those IEPs or those 504s. The documents were there, but it wasn't very much written on it because it was hard to determine what the child needed.
Basically, they weren't really being followed. The process wasn't really being followed the way it should have been.
That's correct.
So when the pandemic came, did that give you a different opportunity?
Yeah. So the pandemic was definitely a culture shock, I think, for probably everybody in the entire planet. But if I recall correctly, the pandemic happened over spring break of 2020. And we were actually out of town. We were visiting family back in Tennessee, and they had like the roads blocked. We couldn't even get home. They're like, oh, virtual school and all this stuff. So I'm just like, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to work? How am I going to get these kids to sit in these Zoom meetings? Like, I felt very, very, very overwhelmed. But it definitely opened up my mind and opened us up to more opportunities and resources that I did not know were there.
What resources did you find, and did you teach them at home?
So at first, yes, I did. They were all doing virtual school with their school. At the time, they were going to a public charter school. And, you know, they all did I think they had like iPads or something like that the school provided for them to get online for their classes and complete their work. I don't know if you guys know anything about autism or ADHD or anything like that, but trying to get a child to sit down on the tablet and do something that they don't want to do is almost impossible. So while, you know, we were at home, that's great. But the things that they were still responsible to do, like, they weren't used to that. I wasn't used to that. Even the teachers weren't used to that. It was something new for everyone. It took a while to adjust. And during that time was actually when I found out about the scholarships.
Oh, how did you learn about the scholarship program?
You know, I think I was actually on the phone with social worker, DCF, something, and she could just hear I was like extremely stressed out with my children, education, and everything I had going on. And she was just like, well, why don't you put your daughter in private school? And I'm like, who's got money for private school? And she then started telling me about the scholarship. And I guess she had a child that was on the Unique Ability Scholarship. And she told me how to apply. And so I applied. And just a couple months later, she got approved. And yeah, it was definitely uphill from there. I didn't realize how much I needed that. I honestly wasn't really thinking too deep about it. I wasn't really dwelling on it. I didn't even think that she would get approved, to be honest, because I wasn't sure how those types of things work with funding and things of that nature. But yeah, it's been great and it's been a wonderful help.
I can only imagine how you felt the day you found out she was approved.
I was like, when I tell you I was shouting, I was so happy. Like, I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, okay, I had to call people like, what do I do now? What do I do next? I literally had to have people walk me step by step because it was something like so unique to me. I didn't know what to do. So I decided, since everyone was already home doing virtual school, I was just going to homeschool my daughter and do that on my own time so she wouldn't be tied down to her tablet at 8 o'clock in the morning for her math teacher and then switch over at 9 o'clock for her English teacher and all of those things. So it worked out really well for her. And for me.
How were you able to use your Unique Abilities funding during that time to customize her education?
It was perfect, actually. It helped me purchase her a tablet that she can personally use on her own for her work. I was able to purchase programs and books and materials that she needed to do homework. I was able to purchase testing that she needed for her grade level. And I was even able to get some little extra things like to help her when she's overstimulated, like little fidgets and things of that nature.
When did you all decide to go back to traditional school, brick and mortar school?
So brick and mortar came back into play. I want to say we did. I think we were all at home for about a year and a half. I don't remember the exact timing, but it was the general, pretty much the general amount of time. We were probably one of the last people to go back to physical school when they stopped offering the virtual option. Cause you know, I wanted to be safe. So we stayed at home as long as we possibly could. Of course, during that time, I was still having issues with my oldest son. He did not really thrive too well with the virtual option with his public school. So I still was dealing with that, but it was easier dealing with my daughter because I had more control. Well, I had total control over her entire education. So yeah, we stayed home for, I want to say it was about a year and a half.
What type of school are they attending now?
So now they all go, they're all at the same school. They go K through 12. So that's a one-stop shop for mama. That's easy for me. And they all go to a private Christian-based school.
How is that setting a good fit for them educationally? How are they doing?
They're doing wonderful. They have wonderful grades. I don't get as many phone calls, you know, anymore from teachers saying they can't handle my child or something like that. They have small group learning, small group activities. They get that one-on-one time with their teachers if they need it. And it just works, you know, full circle for each and every one of the children. For instance, at their school in particular, high school is just one classroom. So it has 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade in it. So let's say, for instance, if I have a child in the 11th grade, but, you know, maybe their math is more on the 9th grade level, it's all available in that same classroom and other kids aren't looking at them like, oh, you're not at the right grade level or anything like that. Like there's no judgment and everyone learns at their own pace. They do map testing. It's just great. And it's just a bonus that they all get to be at the same school.
Well, that's great because if there are areas where they need to catch up, there are also a lot of times an area where they can move ahead, you know, where they're accelerated. So that gives them then that opportunity. Tell me, if the scholarships hadn't been there for you, would you have been able to afford to pay for these options that best fit your kid? And if that was even possible at all, what sacrifices would you have had to make that happen?
Oh, it wouldn't have been possible. Like, I literally would not have been able to do it. So we would probably still be stuck in the same public school situation, me getting phone calls, me having to leave work, me probably getting fired and losing jobs because I'm having to be present so much at the school, back and forth with meetings with teachers and principals, talking about my child's behavior and their learning. Pretty much every other day, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I wouldn't have been able to pay for any type of private education at all.
How many jobs are you working right now? What are you doing to make ends meet?
So I guess you can say I have three jobs. I work full-time doing tech support. I work part-time at a restaurant. And then I also run a small business selling health and wellness products.
Oh, wow. So yeah, you're a busy woman. That's a lot to take on. And of course, the ultimate full-time job is being a mom.
Oh, yeah.
There's that too. So you were in the first committee meeting of the legislature when a bill came up, House Bill 1. It's under consideration in the Florida legislature, and it would convert all of the scholarship programs, both unique abilities and educational options, to education savings accounts like your daughter has. If that change were approved, how would it affect your family?
Oh, man. I would love for that to happen, and I really hope it does go that way. For them to be converted over to the educational savings accounts would be awesome, because then that would open up more resources for my boys as well. And maybe even we can go back to doing our homeschool thing, getting private tutors and things like that. And that way we can kind of, you know, schedule our own education on our own time, which would work out awesome for me, because as I just told you, I'm a very busy person. So, you know, having to deal with all the kids and their sports that they want to do all, you know, I want to make sure that they're happy as well. They're not just doing school all the time. But yeah, I think it would, we may just go back to the homeschool option. And I didn't like it at first, I'm not going to lie, like having all my kids at home, but I think it was because I was forced to do it like all of a sudden. But now that I have, you know, a year and a half of experience, I think that we would probably end up eventually going back to doing the homeschool option with all of the kids this time, not just my daughter. The only reason, honestly, I sent them back to brick and mortar, and I could have kept her homeschool, but I felt it wasn't fair. Like, okay, she's at home, she gets to stay at home all day, and I'm her teacher, and then all the other kids have to go to school. I felt that wasn't fair, and, you know, they all felt some type of way about that, and so, yeah, I think we would probably eventually all go back to the homeschool option.
Now, let me backtrack just a little bit. Your sons got scholarships after your daughter. And
correct.
How did that happen? I understand that maybe the law changed so that siblings would automatically qualify if one child did under unique abilities.
Yes, it did. And I'm not sure when they put that into play, but I believe it was shortly after she got approved. I went ahead and just applied for them as well. And they were kind of like grandfathered into that program.
How do you think you would spend the funds to customize education for all your children, you know, if you did return to homeschooling?
Oh, man, I haven't even thought about that, to be honest. Well, I only did it with one. So doing it with two more would probably be a little bit different. Obviously, I would have to, you know, buy more stuff, make sure that they have all the materials they need. And also here in town, like, we have like little homeschooling groups where kids can actually, like, if they want to be in person with a couple of other kids, there are some parents that host some homeschooling like that. So I'd probably go through one of those programs, as well as purchase like the online lessons, the testing, and all of that good stuff.
Well, that sounds like it would be a great option. Overall, what difference have the scholarships made in your family's lives?
Oh, man, it's made our lives so much more bearable. I'm now obviously able to work like a normal adult since my daughter's in a more appropriate school that's, you know, more equipped to handle her personal needs without having, you know, me there all the time. My boys are also in classes that work well for them. You know, my son's very gifted in reading. He's able to go take his reading in English with the high school kids and come back to middle school for his math or whatever it is he needs to do. And it's just been a blessing. And like I said, it's just a bonus that they all can go to the same school that is available to them. So it's very rare that you find a school like that. So I do kind of brag about the school as well.
Well, I am so glad everything is working out well for them and for you. And I want to thank you for being on my podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.